Yo, Sunday, February 22nd, 2015. This is a special edition of Post Unpopular. I got my boy, Mike Mann.
Yeah, I'm Mike.
And we're going to talk about the 87th Oscars and our favorite movies of the year, our predictions. Let's fucking go.
I bet you're wondering what I called you here for.
All right, so we're talking the 87th Oscars. We're going to round out some of the main categories that we want to talk about. We've spent the last few days watching all of these movies.
Some good, some terrible, some really good, some really terrible.
Some unwatchable.
Yeah.
And then we're going to say who we think should win, who we think will win, and then we're going to kind of talk about it. So let's start off with the best original screenplay. The nominees are Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Grand Budapest Hotel, and Nightcrawler. I don't know. I think we both can agree that Foxcatcher was not good.
No. Awful. Unwatchable. If I ever watch that movie again, it's going to be because I was bound and tied and gagged to watch that movie.
I wasn't on the side of it being unwatchable, but I definitely would say that it wasn't the most enjoyable movie experience I've ever had.
You got a whole movie, a kid with cauliflower. How do you not pay attention to that cauliflower the entire movie?
And so what do you think is going to win?
I'm going to say, honestly, Birdman.
You think Birdman's going to win Best Original Screenplay?
Yeah. I think the complexity of that story, you have, you know, kind of like the love subplot with, you know, Michael Keaton's daughter, Emma Stone. You got, you know, the internal struggles. You have the, you know, Birdman voices. You have... You know, obviously everything kind of written into that. You have, you know, it's a movie about a play that Michael Keaton's putting together. So, I mean, you kind of have like a book within a book within a book as far as like writing wise.
I personally feel like Grand Budapest Hotel is probably going to win this one. I think it was the most adventurous of all the stories. It had the most complex storyline, in my opinion. It had comedy, it had action, it had drama, it had love. I felt as though it kept it interesting. It was also very unique in the way that it was written. So I would definitely, I think that Grand Budapest Hotel is going to win. I personally think that Grand Budapest Hotel should win. I think overall it just had the deepest story of them all.
Yeah, I think Grand Budapest Hotel should win. I mean, for sure. It's definitely one of the better, you know, it hits on every emotion and stuff like that. But that's not to go without saying, you know, how well Nightcrawler really was as well. I've never sat and watched a movie like Nightcrawler where I finished a movie and I was like, oh man, this movie's fucked up.
I think Nightcrawler was one of the most snubbed movies this year. For me, at the end of the day, though, I felt as though there was a lot of lull in the movie. There were a lot of times where I felt myself kind of wanting to reach for my iPad or my phone. And that's kind of what stopped it for me as being one of the best written movies overall. I think that the thing about a movie like, say, Birdman or Grand Budapest Hotel was, through the whole thing, I was interested. There wasn't a whole lot of times where I felt like I needed to start to do something else. I was to kind of, you know, dove into it. So I think overall, I feel like Grand Budapest is going to win and should win.
Yeah, so I'd say Birdman will win, probably, and I'd say Grand Budapest Hotel should win, but what you said about Nightcrawler with the lulls and stuff is kind of how I felt about Boyhood, too. It's just, when you leave a movie and you talk about how long the movie was, then, I mean, that could have been written a little bit better, I think, in most cases.
I think that it was a good coming-of-age story, but I think at the end of it all, it felt 12 years long.
Yeah. I think, wow, this was directed over 12 years. Well, I just spent 3.5 hours and 12 years watching this movie.
As far as the screenplay goes, though, I think that they did a good job making the normal more interesting. There wasn't a whole lot. There aren't many points in the movie that stand out where there was something absolutely insane that happened. It was all kind of just there, and it happened, and you're like, I could see that happening in real life, or I could see that being, like, you know, a common thing. But none of it really stood out to where you're like, holy shit, that was written amazing. I thought it became very pretentious at the end as well. I thought the kid became very pretentious, and it became a little uneven for me as far as the writing goes.
Yeah, made it a little bit, you know, more uncomfortable towards the end to watch, especially with what you said.
So let's jump into adapted screenplay. The nominees are American Sniper, Imitation Game, Inherent Vice, Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Who do you think's gonna win, and who do you think should win?
Gonna win. American Sniper better not be my gonna win, because that was unwatchable. Gonna win. I'm gonna honestly say Theory of Everything. I think that's really, really depicted well how complex of a, you know, life Stephen Hawking had. You know, the love aspect of his life, and how complex, you know, the kids. You have the story about Jonathan in there as well. I think that was probably one of the hardest stories to really convey. But, I mean, without a question in my mind, what I want to win, what I'd like to win, Inherent Vice, Inherent Vice, Inherent Vice, times seven. I'd put Inherent Vice up for every Oscar if it was my decision.
Inherent Vice was our favorite movie of the year, I would say, pretty easily. Not even close. So I think the fact that it's only up for this is making us just...
not like the Oscars.
I wouldn't say not like the Oscars, but for me, it makes me want... like, I feel like it should win this, no question. But I don't necessarily know that it deserves to win this. I think out of all the Oscars it could have been up for, this is one of, you know, the ones that I think that it really, I don't want to say didn't deserve, but I would have much rather seen, like, Josh Brolin up for Best Supporting Actor. I would have liked to have seen Joaquin Phoenix up for Best Leading Actor. Paul Thomas Anderson for directing. As far as the story goes, I thought obviously it was a great story. Pynchon's one of those writers that he brings a depth to a story that you really don't even know what the fuck you're watching. And that's at the end why I feel like maybe at the end this was one of the least deserving ways that it could have made it to the Oscars, because when I think of a well-written screenplay, to even go back to Theory of Everything, I think you have to have a level. And with Theory of Everything, my only complaint about it was him leaving Jane at the end was it happened so fast and it was hard to understand. And it was like they didn't really... I don't think they did a great job depicting that aspect of the story. And I think that's the same thing with Inherent Vice. Now, my gonna win, I think, has to be Whiplash. I think at the end of the day, that was one of those stories that if you told me it's a story about a kid who wants to drum and a shitty teacher, I wouldn't even have wanted to watch it.
This shitty bald guy that just beats the shit out of everybody.
Right. But for me, I was enthralled the entire movie. There were times where I wanted to, or I sat up just because how into the movie I was. I think the last scene of the movie was one of the most exhilarating points of any movie I've ever seen. I would have liked to have seen J.K. Simmons jump on the drums, though, because all that extra skin he had on his arm, can you imagine that shit flopping all over the place?
But they really put him in that tight black t-shirt the whole movie, flexing on everything like it ain't there. The skin ain't there. He's just flexing. It's all right.
But I think that will win, and I'm going to jump with you and say that what I think should win, or what I would like to see win, would be Inherent Vice. It was my favorite movie of the year. I don't understand how it got overlooked, and we'll jump into that a little bit later when we get into those categories, because there was some huge snubs and some people that I don't understand how they're even in that category.
Without a doubt.
I would also like to say that we did not see Imitation Game. That's the only one we didn't watch out of that, so... I don't know necessarily how deserving it is or anything like that, because that was when we didn't get to take a chance to watch.
I agree.
All right, let's jump into directing. So you have Alejandro Iñárritu for Birdman, Richard Linklater for Boyhood, Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, Wes Anderson for Morton Tildum. Wait, no. Wes Anderson for Grand Budapest Hotel,
yeah.
And Morton Tildum for Imitation Game. Who do you think should win, and who do you think is going to win?
Who I think should win? Oh boy, Alejandro. Birdman, like I said, so complex. But I think directing-wise, the way that movie was shot, you know, camera-wise, it's almost like a hand camera following around Michael Keaton the entire movie.
It was all depicted as essentially one big scene,
yep.
One big film. And for me, the technical aspect of that and the ability to bring that across, I think, is second to none in this category.
Yeah.
This is probably the most passionate I feel about who should win. I feel like Boyhood is going to win.
Oh, I agree.
But I think that there's no question that Birdman and Iñárritu should win. Mm-hmm. I think that this is one of the best directed movies I've ever seen. The fact of the matter is there wasn't a moment in the movie that I felt it was lulled. The shots were amazing pretty much through the entire movie. And I think it, technically speaking, is one of the best movies I've ever seen as far as just pure direction. I think the ability also to tie it all together with certain aspects that most people wouldn't have thought of, with the drumming, to take people who maybe you wouldn't see like Emma Stone in that role. That isn't necessarily a role you would expect to see her in, and to bring that across. I think that this is the one for me that I think is going to be the most hotly contested, and I think that at the end of it all, if I'm going to be very, very upset, it's going to be if Boyhood wins. And that's not saying anything against Richard Linklater. I think what he did was amazing to take that across 12 years. But if that's all we're talking about, if that's the main thing, I didn't feel as though there were some points in the movie that, like I said, it lulled, and it seemed there were some uneven performances. I thought the kid, I don't know what the dude's name is that played him, but it was an uneven performance. It didn't feel completely coherent. I think by the end you started to realize that it was filmed over 12 years. And so I think for me at the end of it all, that's going to be the one. If Boyhood wins, I'm going to be extremely upset.
I'm not going to be too upset because I think Linklater is going to win. I think Alejandro should win, but I think Linklater is going to win, just like you said, because I think the aspect of this being shot over 12 years is 99.9% why this movie is relevant to most people, especially that don't watch movies a ton. So you get, you know, this movie shot over 12 years. Oh, shit, man, I better watch that. That's got to be like a crazy directing feat.
Well, when it came out, there was a lot of people that were like, have you seen Boyhood? And that was all I knew it by. I didn't really know what the whole thing was about. Mm-hmm. What I knew it by was, oh, yeah, that's a movie that they took 12 years to film. And Linklater's a great director, and I think that overall it was a great performance by him and a great job to pull it all together. But I don't know that I think that it's going to be one of those things that it's more of a shtick than it is of, you know, actually exactly what Iñárritu did with Birdman.
I agree. But that's not to put Wes Anderson down by any means either, because when I first saw Grand Budapest Hotel a while back, I was like, holy shit, man, this is a masterpiece.
I think when you come down to Wes Anderson, the biggest thing is you either love him or you don't like it, because his vision and his style is unforgiving. It is what it is. This is what you're going to get. You're going to get every movie has a similar feel to it. So I think that with someone like him, this is finally his nod, maybe not just for this movie, but for some of the other great movies that we've seen from him. And I think that the biggest thing with that movie, and I think it stands true with Inherent Vice. You either love the movie or you hated the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that when you look at him overall, he would be my third place in this one. Bennett Miller, I don't understand this. I don't know if it was just because of Steve Carell and Channing Tatum, and you're getting performances out of them that you maybe didn't expect out of those characters or out of those actors.
I guess.
But I don't understand this one. This is one where I feel like there were some snubs when you really start to get into it and you really start to think of, you know, the direction. Like the fact that the guy that directed Whiplash isn't in this, and someone like Bennett Miller is. I don't fully understand it. It doesn't make sense to me.
100% agree.
And again, we can't really speak too much on Morton Tilden because we did not watch that movie.
Yeah.
But
that's this week. I'm watching that this week, no doubt.
Let's jump into actress in a supporting role. We got Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Emma Stone for Birdman, Laura Dern for Wild, Meryl Streep for Into the Woods, and Keira Knightley for Imitation Game. I should start off by saying that we have really only seen two of these movies, so I don't know how much opinion we're going to have.
What do you mean?
We only saw Birdman and Boyhood. We didn't see Wild, we didn't see Into the Woods, and we didn't see Imitation Game.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So we really don't have much opinion on this one, I guess, so we can only really speak to those two. And I think that ultimately Patricia Arquette is kind of the slam dunk in this category for me across the board, who I think is going to win and who I think should win.
Yeah.
She portrayed the mother of this movie. My mom was a single parent, and she reminded me of my mom.
I agree. But
at the end of it all, too, there was a different aspect of, you know, the fact that here she was going to school, she was trying to be a teacher, she was fighting through all this. So I think ultimately, and her performance was even. I think that's the biggest thing for me with her, is you look across the board going 12 years and trying to fight 12 years and stay consistent with the character, I think is a testament to how great she was in this movie.
I agree with that 100%. Now, Emma Stone was like okay in Birdman, but I walked out of Birdman and I was like, wow, you know, Edward Norton was really good. Michael Keaton, flawless. Even, you know, Zach Galifianakis in that movie was, you know, done pretty well. But Emma Stone was just kind of like, okay, I'd give it to Patricia Arquette here, just based off seeing these two movies. But that's my opinion.
I also think with Emma Stone, the biggest thing is her performance didn't necessarily stand out. It wasn't that she was bad or wasn't great. I thought she did a good job, and I thought that overall she added to the movie, but I just didn't walk out of there feeling wowed by her performances like I did with Michael Keaton. Even like you said, Zach Galifianakis, I think he stood out as someone different. When we watched the movie, my wife said, "Is that Zach Galifianakis?" Like, she didn't even, it didn't even like click with her right away that it was him. So I think when you look at things like that, I think that that's where, you know, when I'm looking for supporting a person, a supporting role, I think the only thing that I will say about Emma Stone is that scene when he caught her smoking pot and they went into this thing and she really laid into him. I thought that was her standout moment in the movie.
I agree.
And I think that that was one of the standout points of the movie. And I think maybe that's where this nod came from, that she actually got, you know, she's got nominated. And I'm not saying she didn't deserve to be nominated, but I just think Patricia Arquette really stood out in this category.
I agree.
Let's jump into actor in a supporting role. I think this is pretty much a slam dunk category here, but we'll go Robert Duvall, Mark Ruffalo, Ethan Hawke, J.K. Simmons, and Edward Norton. This is a snub category for me. There's no way that Josh Brolin shouldn't have been nominated over Mark Ruffalo, Robert Duvall. I don't think that there's any real possibility that we should be staring at this without seeing Josh Brolin there.
Would you spend probably a good 2 minutes sucking on a chocolate-covered banana in a movie? How do you not get nominated for anything? That's the real question there.
Yeah, I mean, in the moments that he was on the screen, stood out from the moments that he wasn't on the screen. Definitely, I think the best relationship of the year on screen was Josh Brolin's character and Phoenix's character. I think overall that was just, that movie was highly overlooked, and this is one of the categories that stands out most. When I walked out of the theater from that movie, I thought to myself, like, Josh Brolin. Like, that was what stood out. That was the first thing you and I talked about when we walked out of the theater. Mm-hmm. I think who's going to win, though, and I think deservedly so, is J.K. Simmons. I don't think that there's another actor in this that's even close, I think, in this one.
As far as even close, I mean, I give not Mark Ruffalo. Edward Norton, I think, you know, played Birdman very, very well.
Is the closest one?
Yeah, closest, but I think one, you're not like, really you're, super close.
You're like an
close.
8 out of 10 compared to a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, kind
of
I agree. Thing. When everybody else for me is probably like at like a 4.
Ethan Hawke, I think, could be overlooked in this just because I think overall he was just as good as Patricia Arquette. He did just a good job kind of staying level through over the years. He reminded me of a dad who, you know, he was on the outside and he was trying, and I think he did a good job playing it. But I just think overall, when J.K. Simmons was on the screen for this movie, this movie wouldn't have been the same without him. He made this movie.
Yeah.
He was the one that at the end of it all, he was the Heath Ledger as Joker. He was that guy who, when he was on the screen, you didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
And there were times where like I literally felt like I was gonna have an anxiety attack in the movie because I was afraid of what he was gonna do. So I can't even imagine how it would feel to be in his class.
Yeah, I wasn't even sitting in that class, but I felt like I was in that class. And that's, you don't get that from an actor very often, especially in, you know, a supporting role kind of character. So, I mean, I think he by far leaps and bounds above everybody else, definitely deserves it.
And this is the guy from the State Farm commercials. Like, he's been getting paid for the last couple of years doing State Farm commercials, and he comes out and delivers this kind of performance. I think that we can expect to see more of him. I'm not saying that, I mean, obviously he was an accomplished actor. He's been in plenty of other movies. Yeah. But at the end of it all, I think that we could start to see more serious, serious roles from him.
J.K. Simmons has been doing State Farm commercials, and Ethan Hawke has been doing movies that get viewed less than State Farm commercials. Yeah. So that's where I'm at with that.
It was good to see Edward Norton back, though. I think he's always been one of my favorites. Yeah. So it was good to see him back in a role that really showed us why everyone loves Edward Norton. I mean, he's obviously probably one of my favorite actors, and anytime I see him in a movie, I'm excited that he's in it.
Yeah, I didn't expect that sort of performance from him really at all.
I kept forgetting he was even in it before I went to see it.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like he was there, and I'm like, oh, Edward Norton. And then by the end, his performance really stood out to me. Obviously with Michael Keaton.
Well, that Birdman movie poster, they put so many damn actors on the thing, you don't even know who's in it. You don't want to read all that. You see a big black figure and a thousand fucking words.
14 names.
Oh, cool. This movie has 27 people in it.
Actress in the leading role. Marion Cotillard. Rosamund Pike. Felicity Jones. Julianne Moore. And Reese Witherspoon.
I'm surprised they didn't put that mom from Foxcatcher in this. How much is that fucking Foxcatcher?
I think for me, I definitely think this one, We disagree on this one.
Yeah.
I think who's going to win is Julianne Moore. I should also point out that I've never seen that movie, but I just from all the talk leading up to it and Still Alice and the way that they're talking about her performance, I think that she'll probably get the nod. But for me, Felicity Jones, I think deserves this. I think when you look at that movie, that's a movie that really has zero interest in me at the end of it all. Like the story itself, if you would have said, oh, this movie's about Stephen Hawking, I wouldn't have gave a shit.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have cared. I wouldn't have wanted to watch it. But I watched it because of the Oscars and wanting to try to get a well-rounded opinion on it. And I left that movie just feeling completely different than I thought I would.
Whoa, this movie was actually good.
And it was on the performances at the end of it all. And her performance really brought it home. Eddie Redmayne?
Yeah,
He did a great job as Stephen Hawking, and we'll get to that in a bit. But I feel like she was the one that pulled this movie together for me. The pain that she went through, the suffering that she went through, overall, and the way that she portrayed it, to me, stands out over any performance in this category. And maybe any acting nomination other than Eddie. I think those two stand out to me the most.
Yeah. I'm glad they nominated Reese Witherspoon, because I also thought she was good in Inherent Vice. But Rosamund Pike in this, I mean, Gone Girl was a flawless movie, in my opinion. I've never watched a movie and been, oh my goodness, so many times.
Definitely another snub I think we'd agree on.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Didn't get enough play. I think just the fact that it wasn't even up for the screenplay award, it wasn't up for, you know, she's not getting enough talk for it. Even when you look at like supporting actors and you think of someone like a Tyler Perry, Tyler Perry was fantastic in that movie, and he stood out a lot more to me than Robert Duvall or Mark Ruffalo. Like, I just think that's enough. Those are the things that I look at when those performances to me jump out a lot more than the ones that were nominated.
Even for as much shit as Ben Affleck gets, he was great in that movie too. But Rosamund Pike makes that movie for me without a doubt. The entire movie, I'm like, man, this wife is crazy, man. She wants a kid, and she, I don't know that there was a more heartbreaking, not many heartbreaking moments this year out of movies that I felt when you get to the end of that movie and she's like, I'm pregnant. And Ben Affleck's like, oh, you're like, oh man, Ben, come on, Ben, get out of here. You got to do something.
I just felt like for me at the end of it all, anytime you can take a performance and genuinely make me hate you, the way that I felt that feeling towards her.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted something terrible to happen to her.
I want her to really be gone, girl.
Yeah. So, like, when you think about it, it's one of those things where if an actress or an actor can portray that in that kind of way, I definitely think it makes it deserving. But I don't know. Like I said, for me with that movie, I just feel like Felicity Jones really just stands out for me in this one. And
yeah,
I think this is going to be another one that it's hard to speak completely on because we didn't see a lot of them. We didn't see Wild with Reese Witherspoon. We didn't see Still Alice with Julianne Moore. And we didn't see, I don't even know, with Cloutier. I don't know. I'm not even sure who that is. So obviously didn't see that one. But when you look at it, it's one of those things where my opinion lies directly with, for me, who made that movie stand out. And that was Felicity Jones and her performance. I'll watch the movie again.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is, I mean, Felicity Jones in general, you just kind of feel, heartbroken for her the whole movie because, she signed up for that in the beginning where, she talks with Stephen Hawking's family and is like, I'm not this weak girl. But that part where she portrays where Hawking's mom walks in and is like, hey, whose kid is this? And she has that kind of like rant about, you really think that I would, cheat on my husband like that? Kind of, that's the moment in the movie that was like, wow, she played this part phenomenally. So, like I said, Rosamund Pike for me, but I think that's not an award I'm going to be upset if it goes to either one of those. Cotier, 2 Days, 1 Night was that movie, which we also didn't see, but
we didn't see that movie. Okay, cool. Let's go actor in a leading role. We have Steve Carell and Foxcatcher. It does kind of make you laugh, though. I don't know. I just don't see it.
So bad.
It's one of those things that is almost head-scratching that he got nominated. I'm not saying it was a bad performance because he was haunting on screen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that movie just didn't stand out to me on this level. And I would have much rather have seen Joaquin Phoenix up for this award or Jake Gyllenhaal up for this award.
Jakey G.
So you have Carell, Bradley Cooper for American Sniper, Michael Keaton for Birdman, Eddie Redmayne for Theory of Everything, and Benedict Cumberbatch for Imitation Game. Again, we saw all these movies except for Imitation Game.
Unfortunately, saw all these.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Except for Imitation Game.
So Bradley Cooper was another one, though. I will say this. I'm not a fan of American Sniper. We can get into that more when we go to Best Picture. It was the only movie out of any of these that we did not make it to the end. We actually, about midway through, just decided that this wasn't for us, and there's no reason for us to continue.
I mean, we were 20 minutes from the end, but it was just that terrible that I just had interest.
We didn't want to dedicate 20 more minutes to that movie.
That's how bad we felt about it.
But I do think that Bradley Cooper stood out in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
If there was one redeeming factor, it was his performance. Except for when he was holding that fucking baby.
Like, you could, like, pretend it was a baby a little bit better.
You could, like, take a class on how to hold a baby. Like, you obviously aren't going to just let his head hang. Overall, I felt like it was a great performance, or good performance, maybe not great.
I'm glad that's up for Best Adapted Screenplay, not Best Adapted Fucking Baby Usage.
I also feel like, but for me, this one comes down to Michael Keaton and Eddie Redmayne, and I don't think that there's any question in my mind that Eddie should get this one. It was just one. It was one of the most powerful performances as far as just taking a character and making me. He laid his head on another grown man's chest.
Yeah.
Like at one point in the movie, like, and you could feel the pain of him having to let this happen. You could feel it in the performance that here's a grown man, probably the smartest
guy on the planet.
Yeah, guy on the planet. And his life has been taken to another grown man feeding him peas and laying his head on his chest on the beach, knowing that
he wants to
fuck your wife. Yeah, he wants to fuck your wife. And your wife probably wants to fuck him.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. It's terrible. But it was still a great performance overall, and I think that this is another one where I love Michael Keaton. He was one of my growing up, he was my favorite actor at the end of the day. I mean, as a young kid, you figure Batman was one of my favorite movies, and then Beetlejuice, and you have, you know, even when you look at movies, like my mom used to watch Multiplicity like 1,000 fucking times. So it's like, I would love to see him win this one, but I just don't think there's anyone as deserving as
Redmayne.
Yeah, Redmayne.
I agree, 100%. Even when you look at, like, the body portrayal of Stephen Hawking the entire movie, like, his face is locked in that position, his, you know, feet are locked, crooked,
we got to that like point where we were like, I'd be afraid that my face would get stuck like that.
Oh yeah. And I feel the way about Eddie Redmayne in this movie as I did about Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club, where I was like legitimately concerned for his like health halfway through the movie. I was like, man, is this guy, like, alive still? Is he, like, the actor doing okay after this? Where, you know, Dallas Buyers Club, Matthew McConaughey looks like he was sickly ill in real life.
I feel like I just want to make a Redman Method Man joke. I just can't come up with a good one. I've been standing here just trying to think of one, but it just, nothing will come to me.
I kind of wish that Eddie Redmayne was in Birdman, so I call Birdman. Birdman, Birdman.
Birdman, Birdman. All right. I mean, we'll move on to Best Picture, and then we'll maybe close it up. Selma. Grand Budapest Hotel, Birdman, Boyhood, Imitation Game, American Sniper, Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. It's disappointing that Inherent Vice didn't get a nod on this one. You have 10 nominations you could put up. At least give it a nomination.
Foxcatcher? Just kidding. That movie sucked.
How crazy is that that it was up for so many awards, but it wasn't up for Best Picture?
Well,
how is it even possible?
How do you put a movie up for, you know, best
actor,
original screenplay,
director?
And you're like, oh, this doesn't get best picture though.
Right, it's not even a nomination. I don't believe it should have been.
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think that should have played on our TV.
It doesn't even make sense though that you would be up for those awards and not be up for best picture.
Yeah.
When you're talking screenplays, you're talking about the writing. Is up for an award. The directing is up for an award. And the main actor and main supporting actor aren't up for the award.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all these nominees, except I think Inherent Vice should have been a part of this, without a doubt. I mean, obviously we've explained that's by far our favorite movie. But if I'm talking about what I think is going to win this, really from every aspect, like, all these movies were really pretty good, like, on a level that most movies don't hit often. But either Birdman is going to win this, and I think should win this, but that's not without any discredit, because after I watched Grand Budapest Hotel the first time, I was like, this is hands down movie of the year. How can any movie hit this? But Whiplash would be up there for me. If I didn't pick Birdman, it'd be close to Whiplash.
I honestly think Birdman should win. I think Boyhood has an outside opportunity to win. But I would like to see Whiplash win. I think Whiplash overall, I think Miles Teller's performance was completely underappreciated. I think he's another one who should have been up for Best Actor.
Yeah.
Some of those scenes just were excruciating to watch, and it was because of the performance he put out there. But I think ultimately, it's really a two-man race between Boyhood and Birdman, and I think Birdman's going to win, and I think Birdman should win. Now, you know, I saw Grand Budapest Hotel, and I was, you know, telling you, you got to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And but for me, and when I first found out all the nominations, it was the one I was most excited about. But I just think after watching some of these other movies, I just don't think that it was on that same level of a Birdman, a Whiplash, Theory of Everything. Selma, I'm hearing a lot of things about it. I didn't see it. I'm not real big on those type of movies. I should also point that out with American Sniper and stuff too. I'm not big on those type of movies, the like American history portrayed. I think a lot of times it comes off as kind of a propaganda kind of thing. They're telling us what they want to tell us. They leave out facts that maybe are important. I'm not saying that necessarily about some, obviously, but I feel like you don't always get the true story of it all. I feel like you get the story they want to tell you. But I'm hearing a lot of really good things about some, and I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't get to watch it leading in. But I think overall, this is a Birdman Boyhood race, and I think Birdman should and will pull it out.
I really think Birdman might fly away with this award.
Okay.
Snubs. Who got snubbed? Let's hear it.
Inherent Vice.
Yeah. Inherent Vice. Inherent Vice. Inherent Vice.
And Nightcrawler, I think, was another snub. I think Nightcrawler should have been up for elite. Jake Gyllenhaal should have at least got a nod for best actor in a leading role. I thought that, again, he had the same type of performance that, like, a J.K. Simmons had. Or, you know, when you think about those like, kind of game-changing performances. Eddie Redmayne, I think those things, he should have at least had an opportunity to win.
Yeah, and I really, I mean, for as much as I disliked this movie, I think Channing Tatum should be considered the leading role in Foxcatcher, and I put him eons above Steve Carell in that movie as far as performance. And he smashes his head through that mirror, you know, he physically, you know, did phenomenally in that movie.
Has there been a better turnaround story? I feel like when you look at someone like Channing Tatum, he came out kind of as like the girls actor, the actor that everyone liked.
Oh, Channing.
Yeah, but now he's turned himself into one of my favorites, honestly. I mean, comedy aspect of it, now he's coming into the drama side of it. I think that he's somebody to really keep an eye out for as he continues to get better, because when he started, he was very raw. Like, he wasn't, and it feels like he's, you know, like you said, that scene in the hotel room, I think, was one of the best scenes this year. Unfortunately, it was wrapped in a burrito turd.
and like a tortilla turd burrito shit cake.
I think, so obviously, I think that the most overrated movie of this year was by far Foxcatcher. I don't understand the love for it. I don't see, other than maybe just the overall feeling of the movie, I don't see it. I don't see all the nominations for it.
Yeah, but there's really nothing that I completely disagree with more than the lack of support behind Inherent Vice, and really even Nightcrawler. How do you not put Joaquin Phoenix up for any award in this?
Yeah, that's my biggest thing. I think that when I'm looking at the best supporting performance, aside from J.K. Simmons, I think it was Josh Brolin, hands down. I think he stole the stage when he was on it. And then I think someone like Joaquin Phoenix, the understated stoner PI thing.
Yeah.
I just think overall it was great. It stuck with me for days. I just don't see how he wasn't up for more.
That was really the movie that hit, you know, really every emotion in the right amount for me. You have the emotion with, you know, where Joaquin Phoenix has that kind of like love subplot underneath it all, where he's always kind of, you know, always attracted to, you know, that Shasta character. You know, Reese Witherspoon comes in and does, you know, a pretty great job as like this other side love girlfriend. And then you have, you know, just enough action with, you know, the gunplay at the end. and really Josh Brolin really helping Joaquin Phoenix out at the end with everything. I think it was a perfect movie. I mean, that's going to be my favorite movie for years and years to come.
I think the biggest thing with that movie is it was too, because the story was so hard to understand, I think that I'll have to watch it a few more times before I even understand what the hell happened.
Yeah.
I think at the end of it all, I think that that's what stopped it from getting its due this year, is the fact that half the people went and saw it and loved it. The other half went and saw it and did not understand a damn thing. And they wanted to understand it. Yeah, they wanted to understand it too much. It was kind of one of those things where it's like, because you didn't get everything that was going on, it made you hate the movie. And for me, it was the total opposite. I enjoyed the aspect of the fact that it was kind of like trying to find it. And I wrote in my review that one of my favorite scenes was when he was sitting staring at the whiteboard, Joaquin Phoenix, and the look of confusion on his face. And it made me feel like it was okay that I didn't know what the fuck was happening.
Yeah. And I think I guess what most people probably didn't like, you know, the big drug aspect essence of that. But really, the whole movie just portrays the era that was written in very well, too. So
I'll say this, though. That scene where she got naked and then laid on top of him and told that weird story, that was the only time where, like, it was slightly uncomfortable. Like, I was got to the point where I was kind of like, I don't know what to do right now.
Yeah, but even then, you know, how many movies can fit in, you know, a scene like that where you're just so uncomfortable and still pull you back into the movie? And
that's
you're like,
true.
Wow, this is...
Or when she grabbed on her nipple...
The just, weirdest looking nipple of all time, by the way.
And just started tugging on that thing. That was really it for me, where I got a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for spending your Sunday with us.
Or without us.
And be sure to comment on the postunpopular.com blog to let us know what you feel about the Oscars and what's going on.
And hopefully Foxcatcher doesn't win anything.
Bye.
Mark, we need your brother Dave. We need Dave on this Olympic team. He would just win the Nationals. Day.
Hot dog.